Welcome to the Bride of Christ podcast, where we exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and continuously learn through this thing called life with the only handbook we need, the Bible, the living word of God. I'm your host, Asha, and today's topic is treasures in heaven. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy. I thank you for today because today is a day that you have made and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, I give you all the honor, glory, and praise, and I thank you for strengthening me for such a time as this. Lord, I repent of all of my sins, sins of omission and commission, things known and unknown. And right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I just ask that you lead and guide me in spirit and in truth, and every single person that's on the other end of hearing this, Lord God, or watching this, and may they continue to walk in the fullness of what you have for them. Lord God, I ask for the spirit of discernment. I thank you for discernment through the Holy Spirit, and I thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy towards me, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus over the audio, over this video, and everything else in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, have your way. Help us all. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you that it is so, and it shall not be otherwise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Bride of Christ podcast. To God be the glory. We are on episode 4. I cannot believe this. I am so excited. I am so over the moon about what the Lord is doing. And you should be too, because you are a part of an amazing movement and revival of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to send out a special thank you to everyone that has subscribed to our YouTube channel, followed us on Instagram, followed us on TikTok. We greatly appreciate it. Like I said, this is Holy Spirit led, and to God be the glory for doing such a mighty, marvelous work. So today we are going to be discussing treasures in heaven, and the psalm that we will be reading over today is going to be Psalm 73. So this is such a relatable psalm, but it is also so important because it really did touch on how I felt coming into my relationship with the Lord and also seeking him as a baby Christian. I had these questions and the Lord answered it immediately when I was doing the notes for this specific scripture. So we are going to dive in deep because the Holy Spirit revealed a lot. But most importantly, I am just so excited about what the Lord is going to do in this episode, because doing the notes, it blessed me tremendously. And I'm just so excited about what it is also going to do for you. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. So your question might be, who was Asaph? So Asaph was an organizer and leader for the temple of the choirs in the days of David and for Solomon after him, which was prophesied according to the order of the king. So although David did write many of the psalms, this was a psalm from Asaph specifically. And this is a beautiful psalm, but it also just talks about the conflicts that we have and the perception of what seems to be when you're looking at things through your carnal eye. Psalm 73, verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. So we can stop right there, right? Because he immediately acknowledged the Lord. He immediately addressed and acknowledged our Lord, which is what we are supposed to do in prayer. We are supposed to acknowledge him. We're supposed to give him glory, praise, adoration. We are supposed to thank him for who he is. Before we even get into our prayer, we're supposed to acknowledge him. So I love that when this psalm was started out, he immediately acknowledged God. So when he said, surely God is good to Israel, this psalm started out with a simple declaration of the goodness of God to his people. He acknowledged the Lord and is aware of where his true help comes from. Glory be to God. The Lord also actively showed the goodness to those pure in heart, because the Lord sees and examines the heart. That's why we as Christians should always say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Glory be to God. That's why we are supposed to acknowledge him in all of our ways, because ultimately our heart is wicked. So when we ask God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, to purge us of the things that are not of him, that's when the Lord can really do the work. But most importantly, we are allowing him to be God in our life. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he's being honest. He's like, Lord, I'm acknowledging who you are, and I know that you're a good God, and I know that you are good to those pure in heart. But Father God, I'm laying this at your feet, because right now I'm looking at the arrogant, I'm looking at the wicked, and they seem to be prospering. So what is really going on here? What is really going on, Lord? Psalm 73 verse 1 is an anchor scripture for times that we may find ourselves in times of trouble, but it should also remind us of who our God is, which is good to those pure in heart, those who are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so all things can be added to them. But then we see, after he stated what was true of our Lord and Savior, and after he acknowledged him, he pours out his heart about what almost caused him to stumble. Instead of stumbling, he went to where his help came from. Instead of losing his footing, glory be to God. Instead of being snared by the enemy, glory be to God. He knew where his help came from, and he went to the source. He went to the source instead of being led astray. He sees what it is, but at the end of the day, he knows, okay, even though I'm feeling this way, even though I find myself feeling this way, Lord God, my heart and my feelings are deceitful. They can lead me astray. So Lord, tell me what I need to do. Glory be to God. He prays to the Lord. He's seeking the Lord diligently instead of just running off, leaning on his own understanding. Glory be to God. And this is something that we can learn. We should cast those things down in the mighty name of Jesus, and we should move forward with the things that the Lord has called us to move forward with. We should go to our Lord and Savior, go to the secret place, pray, okay? A calm spirit turns away wrath. When you cast these things down, when you bind these things and you loose them back into the pit of hell, they can't do anything. But if you allow it to linger, that's when it can actually manifest in your life. And that's what we don't want. That's what the enemy wants, but that's not what we want as the body of Christ. Glory be to God. So he knew where his help came from, and he knew where to go when he was feeling convicted and conflicted about something. Verse 4, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? Verse 12, this is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. So here he's like, you know what, Lord? They are doing this, that, and the third. They are doing everything up under the sun that is disgraceful to you, that is detestable to you. And they are not answering for it. God, why is this? Why are the wicked prospering? Why are people that clearly don't believe in you prospering? This isn't making sense, Lord. Why are people that don't even believe in you making Christian sounding music? Why do they have a form of godliness, but their hearts are far from you? Why are they amassing all of this wealth and being prosperous and having these hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of followers, and leading them astray? Why aren't they being held accountable, Lord? Why is what's wrong being glorified and what's right being persecuted? Lord, help me understand. Help me understand why murderers walk free. Help me understand why there's so much wickedness in the world. Help me understand why they amass so much wealth and they're able to do evil, vindictive things and aren't even held accountable in court. Lord God, what is going on? What is going on? Help me to understand, Lord. So he is pouring out his heart, okay? He's talking about the compare and contrast, right? He's saying they don't answer to anyone. They're arrogant. They think that the Lord doesn't see them, my God. And they're doing whatever they want to do. They have a form of godliness, or they just don't believe in you. Either way, Father God, they're wicked. So he's really asking and trying to get an understanding, because he's sitting there clearly mind-boggled, looking with his carnal eye, trying to figure out why this is this and that is that, and seeing that they're living wicked lives but still prosperous. And it's not making sense. It's not clicking, right? It's not clicking for a moment. But to God be the glory. Don't we love that the Lord always gives us revelation? And regardless of how it looks, the Lord always turns it around for our good. So as I was doing my notes, the Lord led me to do another compare contrast, but now he had me add a new column, and it was basically talking about the means. So the means of the wealthy or wicked and what they have. Now, I'm not saying that all wealthy people are wicked. Mm-mm. I am saying that the love of money is the root of all evil. So if you love money more than you love God, it's a problem. If you idolize it, if you idolize your lifestyle, if you idolize money, if you idolize any other thing above our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then it's a problem. You should not have any other God before Him. And He has said that. He is a jealous God. And that's just Bible. That's what it is. It's the first commandment. So I'm not saying that money is evil. Money is a resource. It's a tool. It is something that the Lord allows us to have in order for us to steward it well and further His kingdom and be generous. Glory be to God. But it has nothing to do with amassing wealth so much to where you're just pompous and doing whatever you want and living how you want to live and furthering wickedness and perversion. That's not what it is for. So looking carnally, He stated that they have no struggles, that they have healthy bodies and they're strong, that they're not plagued by human ills, that they're free from common burdens. They wear pride around their neck. They're clothed with violence. They have callous hearts from iniquity, evil imaginations with no limits. They mock and speak with evil intentions and desires. They also have an exaggerated sense of their own importance and abilities. They also threaten with unjust treatment or control. And they speak against the heavens. They worship success. Money is their God because they are far from the true God who is their creator. But if you look at this with a spiritual lens, it's the complete opposite. So at the end of the day, whatever they have will never be enough. And a lot of times they can seem to leave the earth peacefully, but a lot of times things are done behind closed doors. So you really never know how they pass on. And if it's a family of high status and things like that, sometimes it's murder, sometimes it's suicide, sometimes it's homicide. You never really know. Sometimes the person is actually poisoned. So just because they can have a grand funeral, or just because they can be put up to where it seems like they have a good home going, where are they really going? It also seems as if they have less trouble and financial burdens because they have monetary gains along with resources that make it easier. Right? They have impressive garments. They're dressed in designer, okay, dripped down in diamonds. They can do whatever they want when they want. They can go wherever they want when they want. But their heart is hardened. They can't even hear the Lord. It can also seem as if they have the best of the best all the time. Or they could be married, but maybe it's an open marriage. Polygamy, swingers, both ways, down low, BDSM toys, murder, homicide. No one can have you if I can't. Constantly cheating, domination, submission, emo, witchcraft, human sacrifice, etc. So regardless of what it seems like, you don't know what these people have done to amass this wealth. You don't know the covenantal agreements that they have made. My God, you don't know. But if they don't have a relationship with God, it is clear majority of the time, but you don't know what happened behind closed doors. So it's no point in comparing yourself because you don't know what they did to get it. You don't know what's attached to their bloodline in order for them to even amass that type of wealth. You don't know. They could be witches. They could be warlocks. They could be Satanists. It's very demonic and it's very deep. And the Lord brought this to my attention because I did not even want to talk about stuff like this. But He's like, these are the things that are being done behind closed doors. People think just because they see the nice cars, mansions, and this life of luxury that you're being sold constantly, you're constantly being influenced and you're digesting this, you think that, oh, it's nothing to it. But no, there's a price tag. When it's from Satan, it is always a price tag, every single time. Now, it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't want you to be prosperous, but you are not supposed to compromise your moral compass or who you are or even your walk with Christ in order to amass wealth. The Lord wants us to have an abundant life. He has plans to prosper us and give us a hope in the future, but that should not come with compromise. Anything that causes you to do anything contrary to the word of God is from Satan, point blank, period. It's from Satan, period. It's black or white. Your yes is yes and your no is no. You're on the narrow path or you're on the broad path. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. This in between is never going to work, because what are you going to do on judgment day? You're going to be judged. And the Lord is going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Glory be to God. Or He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. So you never know what's going on behind closed doors. And these are things that people really have to come out of, because it is perverse. It is demonic and it is wrong. Mocking the very one who created them. Sometimes even think that they're gods, but couldn't even handle the glory if they felt it for just a moment. That's why people always crashing out. That's why people are on drugs. You cannot handle the glory that our Lord and Savior is supposed to get. We are created in His image. We are not gods. Anything that tells you you are a god is a lie from the pit of hell. It's a doctrine of devils. Yes, we are created in His image. We are wonderfully and fearfully made, but we must be completely dependent on God. That's why He is God. That's why He's the creator of the universe. That's why He's our redeemer, our protector, our provider. That's why He is the one who is and is to come. That's why He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We need Him. We are dependent on Him. We can't do anything apart from Him. So the moment that you start to get pompous or think that you are like God, that is a lie that Satan has told you because he wanted to be like God. He is the biggest op in the whole wide world. Like, he is the biggest hater. He hates us because we are made in His image. He hates us because we have redemption. He hates us because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He hates us because we can walk in victory and we have redemption and we have grace and salvation. We can spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. He had it and He forfeited it. So don't you think that He would use the riches of this world to try to make you think that you're God, or if you amass all of these things and are popular and everyone loves you and you had all these things that the world could give, that can be in the place of God? Doesn't that sound like a lie from the pit? Because it is. Come on, y'all. Come on. Mocking the very one that created you, talking about the universe rather than the creator of the universe, it baffles me. Come out from among them. We cannot be living like this. Our Lord is the creator of all things, and we can do all things through Him because He strengthens us. The blood of Jesus is against you, Satan, and I'm sick of seeing it, y'all. I am sick of seeing the debauchery. I am sick of seeing the blatant blasphemy. I am sick of it. I am sick of the form of godliness. I am sick of the lukewarmness, and I'm righteously angered because everything that is wrong is right. Everyone will be held accountable. We will all be held accountable on Judgment Day. So regardless of what you are blessed with here on earth, do not forfeit it and don't make it your God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no amount of wealth. There is nothing that you can amass here on earth that compares to the presence of the Lord. There is nothing that compares to His grace. There is nothing that compares to the ability to repent. In different states, mayors are mocking our Lord and Savior, and He's flooding it the next day. Y'all think that this is a game. Our Lord and Savior will not be mocked. We are not supposed to have any other God before Him. I don't care if it's your job, your career, your money, your children, your husband. You aren't supposed to idolize any of it. Our Lord and Savior is supposed to be the center and head of your life. If He is not, then you need to reevaluate and come out from among them in the mighty name of Jesus and get right before you get left. They seem to have everything on earth because they're pompous, arrogant, and they worship other gods or attain wealth, turning their ears away from God and blaspheming Him and cursing themselves instead. You know how wicked you have to be to curse yourself? That's why we as a body of Christ have to be extremely mindful of what we say. That's why certain lyrics, certain music, I cannot listen to. I can't even let it into my eye or ear gates because it irritates my spirit. Like, it really does. And it's so blatant now because the enemy is running out of time. But you don't want to be like the people that He's describing in the Word. You don't want to be like this because that means that you're far from our Lord and Savior. That means that you don't know Him and He doesn't know you. And that's a very, very scary place to be. So spiritually, what does all this mean? It really means that they're eternally damned if they don't get right, if they don't repent, if they don't turn away from their sin. It means that they're weak in spirit, far from God, under demonic oppression and bondage. It also means that they carry burdens. They carry their own burdens, right? Because our burden is supposed to be light. We aren't supposed to carry anything. We aren't supposed to worry about anything, but their burdens are heavy, which is why they turn to alcohol and perversion, sexual perversion and immorality and all of these different things. So they can feel some type of power or some sense of being wanted. They're weighed down with perversion, idolatry, addiction, affliction, etc. They're hardened hearts because they may believe once saved, always saved. Who said that? You have to live a repentant life. You need to pray without ceasing, and you also need to be fasting regularly. You can't expect to get into the kingdom of heaven being lukewarm. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, or I have time to get right. Isn't that a lie? We never know the day or the hour. okay? When the Lord calls us home. We can't keep saying tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow I'll get right. Tomorrow this, tomorrow that. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. We're supposed to just focus on today. Glory be to God. The Lord is supposed to worry about tomorrow. He never slumbers nor sleep. Tomorrow can take care of itself. We are supposed to be present in the things that the Lord has us in on today. Or they believe only God can judge me. Absolutely, and He is going to judge you. So wouldn't it be amazing if you could hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," rather than, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Only God can judge me is so true, but it should not give you a hall pass to sin. You should be coming out of it. You should come out of your sin. You should come out of your perversion. You should come out of your sexually immoral ways, and you should get right in the mighty name of Jesus. Only God can judge you, and only God will judge you. That's the point of judgment day. But it doesn't give you a hall pass to do whatever you want, and then at the end of your life, you can just be like, "Oh yeah, Lord. All right, now I want to get right." Absolutely not. The Lord is gracious. He is merciful. But you can't expect to live a raggedy life and still get into the kingdom of heaven. You just can't. You're either going to get right or get left. They have a form of godliness. They're sexually perverted, detestable, immoral, vindictive, wicked. It honestly reminded me of Sodom and Gomorrah as well when it said that evil imaginations have no limit, which is why people think that they can have big houses and throw all of these demonic parties and sexual parties and do all of these detestable things. But it also means that they're spiritually dead, blinded, muted, or tormented by the very demons that deceived them in the first place. People want to talk about, "Oh, hell is fun." No, it's not. You're tormented by the same things that you gave yourself over to here on earth. There's nothing fun about hell. Absolutely nothing. You're going to be tormented. You're going to be in the lake of fire. It is nothing fun about it. There are plenty of judgment day videos. There are plenty of revelations of hell. There's a book called The Divine Revelation of Hell, and I listen to that book often, okay, just to keep me on the straight and narrow path, because it's not a game. There are so many distractions in this world that makes you think that this is something that you should play with, but it is not. Being wicked is not fun. Being wicked is detestable to God. Being wicked sends a smell to God that is absolutely treacherous, not a sweet aroma. We don't want that. We want to smell good in His presence. Anything that we offer to God, we want it to be our best. Anything that we do, we want it to be pleasing to Him. So anything outside of that is a no. Everything that was listed as characteristics of the wicked are just a representation of who Satan is. Point blank, period. But this is not what you want to be like. I saw a video on TikTok, and it was a gentleman that came up to these three guys, and he was like, "Hey, I'm done with God. And if you say I love Satan right now, I'll give you $1,000. Three guys standing there. One of the boys immediately said, "I love Satan," and had his hand out for the money. The two other friends didn't say anything. He handed him the money for a second, and then he said, nah. They didn't say anything, so they're gonna get it. You need to stay close to God, my brother, or whatever. For $1,000, you're willing to say that you love Satan? Satan has no love for you. Satan hates you. Just for a quick buck, just for a quick dime, this is the issue. Satan is not anywhere near light. He is ugly, he's egregious, he hates himself, he hates the world, he hates us. He hates the fact that he forfeited the best gift. You are the conductor and director of music, my God, and you forfeited it in order to have mumble rappers and leading people to hell. I really can't wrap my head around it. And I don't want to wrap my head around it, because at the end of the day, we walk in victory. That's why we're set apart. So we must come out from among them, because every characteristic that you see here in this word is what we shouldn't be as the body of Christ. And the Lord has made it plain and simple. He has made it plain and simple, y'all. When you start to compare yourself to the wicked, it's easy to envy them and the prosperity they seem to have, which leads to questions and doubts like, what's the good in being good? What's the point? If they can do it, why can't I? Why do they get away with it? What is the true reward of godliness? So the enemy wants you to look at what they have, right? And then question your walk. Question the faithfulness of God. Makes you doubt God to a certain extent, and even doubt your walk, because you're sitting here comparing yourself and the things that you have or don't have, the things that you see with your carnal eyes, the lust of the eye. So you're seeing these things and it's causing you to doubt the very creator of your existence. Do you see how diabolical that is? My God. So when you have these thoughts, we are supposed to bind them and cast them down to the pit of hell so that they may never return again. Do not let these type of thoughts wander in your mind, okay? When they start coming up, send them back to where they came from. Don't let that doubt creep in. The enemy loves curiosity. He feeds off of it. So then he can pervert it and he can distort it into what he wants it to be. He loves when someone doesn't know. He loves it because he's like, well, you could just stay in the dark. Or if you have a question, I can just have you ChatGPT it or just Google it or look at angel numbers or zodiac signs and all of these things dealing with the universe rather than going to the source, which is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the one that has already defeated me, Jesus Christ. So when these thoughts come up, when they start springing up just a little bit, you better use a weed cutter and cut them down with the word of God. Come on, cut it down with that living word. Cut it down with that sword. Don't let these type of thoughts just continue to multiply in your mind. You need to bind it and loose it back to where it came in the mighty name of Jesus, and may it never return in Jesus' mighty name. We're not playing around here because sin starts in the mind. Doubt starts in the mind. If the enemy has your mind, he has your life. So revoke his access in the mighty name of Jesus. Come out of sin in the mighty name of Jesus. Stop giving him jurisdiction in your life because you don't want to let go of that person, place, or thing. Let go of it and move on in Jesus' mighty name. Because it can't do anything for you. You're going back for what? You turning back to your sin is like a dog returning back to its vomit. You turning back to your sin is like a demonic hand grabbing you and snatching you back from acceleration in the path that the Lord has you. It's like a slingshot just bringing you back. My God, you don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want to fall into an abyss of nothing. You want to stay on the straight and narrow path. And in order for you to do that, you have to come out from among them. Because you will be held accountable for everything that you post, you say, you do. So don't be like the wicked people that is described in this word. Do not be envious of the foolish. Don't be envious at all, because jealousy is crueler than the grave. When the wicked always say, oh, I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. God did. What God are you talking about? Who blessed you? Did you say Jesus? Do I see the fruit in your life? Do I see that you're actually living for Jesus Christ, or is it contrary to the word of God? Because if it's contrary, then I can't listen to you. It's a form of godliness, but your heart is far from him. So that can't do anything for me. If anything, it's leading me astray, and we don't want that. So yes, the wicked have a form of godliness, as the word says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. So even though they seem to be thriving, they're not. Because they've given the enemy jurisdiction in their life, and they must come out from among them. We are not gods. We are created in his image, but he is our creator, redeemer, cornerstone, firm foundation, and everything that we need. Any religion that tells you contrary to this is a doctrine of devils, point blank period. And you should not be listening to it. You should not be allowing it into your eye or your ear gates, because it is lies from the pit of hell. The Nephilim wanted to be like God. Satan wants to be God. So clearly, anything that isn't giving God the glory, or if it's contrary to the word of God, it's not of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you should not have any part in it. If anything, you should be binding it and loosing it back into the pit of hell so that it may never return. And you should not be allowing it into your spirit, because then it can confuse you. And we don't want that. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Fallen angels are separated from God eternally because they already made their decision. So it's no point in exalting a person, place, or thing above our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to get real on here, okay? Anything that comes out of the blue and is immediately viral, it's demonic. Point blank period. It's demonic. It's a distraction. It's some type of witchcraft, or there's a spell tied to it, causing everyone to want and need it. The laboo-boos. Yeah, I said it. They're demonic, y'all. You shouldn't even be having it in your house. Shouldn't be even named among the saints. Starbucks. It's a Marine Kingdom spirit. Anytime I've ever had it, my head has always hurt. And it would be so difficult for me to open my Bible. I kid you not, y'all. I kid you not. This is not a game. Everything is spiritual. People might say it's not that deep, but it is though. So anything that goes viral, any person, place, or thing, okay, to where they're exalted, that means that they're operating in a Nephilim spirit, majority of the time familiar spirits as well, a seducing spirit, because it entices you to where you feel like you need it. If it's that much of an urge, clearly it's some type of lust or seducing spirit attached to it, and you don't need it in your house, because it is really going to hinder your walk with Christ. It is going to torment your children, and it is going to keep you in bondage, and that's not what we want as the body of Christ. Come out from among them. So if the masses are following a person, place, or thing, you should go the other way because you're set apart. Because there is some type of demonic oppression, witchcraft, or some type of spell that they're under, and they are making that thing their God. So be very mindful. If it goes viral, and I'm not saying this is for everything, but majority of the time, when something goes viral and comes out of the blue to where everyone just wants it all of the time, there is some type of witchcraft connected to it. Just like the red boots, those were demonic. Lil Nas X, when he came out with the shoes that he came out with, you know what I'm saying? It's just, if it doesn't sit right, and if you're uneasy about it, if you don't have peace about it, then you shouldn't go, or you shouldn't wear or put it in your body. You shouldn't even come into contact with it. You shouldn't even come into a covenantal agreement with your money, with that thing, with that person, with that place, with that thing. It is very deep. It is very serious. Be very mindful of where you spend your money. Because if that person, place, or thing is sought after to the extent to where they're exalted, it becomes perverted. And if it causes you, my God, if it causes you to forfeit your moral compass or disregard it at all costs just so you can be in the vicinity of this person, place, or thing, then there is definitely some demonic oppression there. And you need to plead the blood of Jesus for real. So since we all have to give an account as the body of Christ, these are the things that we should be doing in our life. We should live a repentant life. We should be repenting daily. We should pray without ceasing. We should intercede without ceasing. And we should fast regularly. We have to constantly mortify our flesh so that we are not caught up in the snare of the fowler. Moving on. Verse 13. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishment. So he's saying, surely I have lived in vain. That's a lie from the pit. You have not lived in vain. You washing your hand in innocence, you living a repentant life, you praying without ceasing, it doesn't mean that you have a fear of missing out. It means that you're living right in the mighty name of Jesus. It means that you're not corrupted in the mighty name of Jesus. Bad company corrupts good morals. There is no point in you doing anything that is contrary to the word of God. Come out from among them. Don't feel bad for not going somewhere. Don't feel bad for not being a part of something. You are set apart. We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to do things different. It's not that we're judging or condemning. It's just we are set apart. You made a choice and decision to live right and to live holy. So that's what you're going to do in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 15. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. So this right here is my favorite part, glory be to God, of this chapter. And the reason why is because he tried to understand it with his carnal mind. He wasn't looking at it from a spiritual standpoint. He was just like, they seem to be prospering. They seem to not have a care in the world, Lord. If they're being wicked, if they're being vindictive, if they're perverted, if they're doing all of these things, then Lord, why can't I? Why can't I do these things? And the Lord was like, you came into my presence, so now I'm going to give you an answer. You're leaning on your own understanding, so now you're going to see it from my point of view. I'm going to give you the revelation through the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. And that's when he said, I understood their final destiny. Just because someone seems to be popular, have a whole bunch of, you know, followers, subscribers, and all of these different things, they are laying up for themselves treasures here on earth. They're not doing what needs to be done as far as treasures in heaven is concerned. They're not leading people to Christ. They're leading people to idolatry. They're leading people to destruction. They're leading people to demise. So it's no point in looking at them and comparing yourself to them, because you don't know if they have a relationship with the Lord or even if they're close to it. You don't know what their heart looks like. The Lord does. So don't sit up and compare yourself, because at the end of the day, the wicked will have their demise. The wicked will be separated from Jesus for eternity. The wicked will not know him because they didn't know him on earth. The wicked will not serve him in heaven because they didn't serve him on earth. So this is the reality. It might seem like they have all the glitz and the glam and all of these different things, but it doesn't mean that they're prosperous in spirit. It doesn't mean that they're rich in spirit. They're just rich in tangible things. So at the end of the day, if they don't get right, if they don't repent, their demise is being separated from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and being in eternal damnation. And we don't want that. That's why we're supposed to pray and intercede. But until he entered the sanctuary of God, that's when he realized the realization of how things really were. He stopped looking with his carnal eye and having the perception of the flesh. He was able to receive the revelation because he finally stepped into the presence of God. Verse 18, surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Verse 27. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Glory be to God. So once he stepped into the presence of God, once he stepped into the sanctuary, once he stepped into the secret place, he was able to receive the revelation of their demise if they don't get right in the mighty name of Jesus. So we are supposed to live pure. We're supposed to abide by the Lord's law, and we're supposed to obey his word. Living a repentant life, praying and interceding without ceasing, and also fasting regularly so that we live a life pleasing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Asaph knew to go to God in prayer rather than troubling or misleading or guiding other parts of the body astray. He knew to lay this at the Lord's feet so that the Lord could prune this out of him and give him the revelation that he received. Leaning on your own understanding can trouble you so much to where you begin to doubt the very word of God instead of discerning that you're even under attack. My goodness. We must enter the secret place, the presence of God, in order to truly understand and receive the revelation that God has for us so we can see the things for what they truly are. Psalm 73 verses 15 through 28 really brings it home. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 8 verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world but lose his soul? In Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 through 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And lastly, in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. When we meditate on the word of God, because it is the living word, and we continue to keep our eyes on the Lord, we won't be so quick to compare ourselves to things that we see. Regardless of how enticing it may be, regardless of how seducing it may be, we know where our help comes from. And when we are walking in the Spirit and in constant relationship and fellowship with the Lord, we're able to discern what these things truly are. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Be generous, make sure to tithe, make sure to be obedient, and make sure to make disciples in the mighty name of Jesus. Like my pastor always says, it is the Great Commission. Glory be to God. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Mortify your flesh, as my mentor always says. It is important to live a life pleasing to God rather than receiving a temporary reward or riches here on earth for man. Satan cannot offer you anything good. It is always going to come with a price tag. And it is better to serve the Lord because what he has given us is salvation. It is priceless. A relationship with God is priceless. What he did on the cross is priceless. And we can do all things through Christ because he strengthens us. Outside of the Lord, there is no good thing. It's better to stay on the straight and narrow path because he loves you and he died for you. And he has given you the authority and power to do all things through Jesus Christ. This episode has blessed me tremendously. I pray that you continue to seek the Lord. I pray that you continue to further your relationship with him, because your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the most important relationship you'll ever have in your life. Don't idolize anything. Don't compare yourself to anyone, because you don't know what's going on behind closed doors, and you don't know where they're truly laying up for themselves, in heaven or hell. You don't know. So keep your eyes on the Lord and move forward, being thankful, being content, and walking into the new thing that the Lord has for you. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will continue to make your path straight. Don't sway to the left or sway to the right. Keep your eyes on him. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. There is no more room in these last days for compromise and lukewarmness. I thank you so much for watching. If you are an unbeliever listening or watching, I do want to let you know that you can belong before you believe, like my pastor always says. 2819, Philip Anthony Mitchell. You can always belong before you believe. If you are an unbeliever or a Christian, but you're living a lukewarm life, I highly urge you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. I believe you are the Son of God and the Savior of the world. You, my friend, are now saved. And welcome to the kingdom of God. May the Lord continue to keep you, maintain and sustain you. May you continue to keep your eyes on the Lord, and may you continue to stay in fellowship with Him. I love you all with the love of Christ. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And by God's grace, I will see you in my next one.